Why don't we take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 13? Exodus chapter 13. Why don't we stand together, if you are able, for the reading of the scripture? We're going to read a couple portions in Exodus chapter 13. This is Next Step Sunday. So this is not going to be your typical message. I'm going to share a thought from the scripture here. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the next steps. So it's a little different than we normally do, but we have something specific we're trying to accomplish this morning. And so we do this once a year, and I think it'll be helpful to you. Exodus chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 to 9. Exodus chapter 13 and verses 1 to 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now skip down to verse number 17. Same chapter. We're going to read 17. We'll read a few more verses here. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God had led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the flower of fire by night from before the people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, as we look at these verses and then we talk a little about some steps of growth that you might want us to be involved with, I pray you'd bless the message. Help us, Lord, to find where we are at and go forward from there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're kind of taking a little detour this morning from our series on Explore the Book, which we've been looking at the Bible and different aspects of that, because this is our Next Step Sunday. On Next Step Sunday, we encourage you to take a look at your Christian life and see what is the next step that you need to take. People like organized steps to follow. I'm like, is anybody like that? You just like stuff laid out for you. Anybody like that at all? Some people are real good. My wife is real good when she does something. It's just kind of all flying around in her head, and she just figures it out and gets it done, okay? That works for her. That is not how, that doesn't work for me. When I'm doing something, I got to sit down. I've got to think it through, organize it, put it on paper, and then I feel good. I'm like, that's what we're doing. I know what we're doing. It's organized. Let's go. That's how I think. And so it is easy. If you look at books, like some of the more popular books are, you know, 7 steps to this, 5 ways to do that, 8 to do that. It's just, it's how most people think. We want to know exactly what we are supposed to do. And specifically those work because people like to make progress, okay? We like to know when we're taking steps in the right direction. That's why, you know, if you're dieting, you have to actually step on a scale. You have no idea what's going on if you don't step on that scale. Now, I know they want you to take measurements and all that. I get that, too. But like, every week, step on that scale, like, okay, it was a good week, right? I'm taking steps downward. I'm going to where I need to be. Steps. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We need to take steps of growth. We actually talked about that a few weeks ago, one of the messages out of the book of Peter. Now, the story that's before us, as we come to chapter 13 here in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel had just experienced the first Passover. And for them, it was a blessing. For the Egyptians, not so much. It was not good for them. And then in chapter 12, God was explaining to them the whole Passover process and how that's going to work out and how they're supposed to celebrate it. Now we come to chapter 13. For over 400 years, I think it's around 430 precisely, but don't crucify me on that. But for about 430 years, the children of Israel had been in Egypt. And as it had turned out, they had been forced into bondage. They had been forced into slavery, which is not good. And so they were in misery, and they had, you know, everything was laid out right before them. Here's what they did each day, and they were fed, and they had to do this, and they were mistreated. But they really, there was not much thinking on their part. Everything was laid out for them and not in a good way. Now, after all that time, and most all of them there had lived their whole life under that type of system, now God miraculously delivers them and they're free. But what are they supposed to do now? Well, God had sent Moses to help lead them out. They've had the Passover. They saw what God can do. And so when we get to chapter 13, now Pharaoh's like, get out of here, you can go. Now they're free to do what they are supposed to do. But think about it. Where do they go from here? Now God has a very specific plan for them. God didn't leave them on their own. Now they're free. No more bitter bondage. God already had something ready for them, and he says, I've got it under control. Let's follow it. Here is my plan for you. I want you to notice in the verses here, what was God's plan for them? There's three aspects of it, and then we're going to look over the steps. First of all, we got to see that leaving Egypt was just the beginning. God getting them out of Egypt was not the end. It wasn't, here you are, and you're in bondage, and you're in slavery, and you're in misery, and here we go. I'll get you out of bondage. Hey, have a great day. It's not how it worked. God made it very specifically clear to him that was just the beginning. God had something in line much better for them. And the Bible reading this morning, I didn't plan this, it just happened to work out. If you're following the church Bible reading schedule, this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The verse in chapter 6, verse 23 says, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. In other words, God said one of the reasons I brought you out of Egypt, because I want you to go into the promised land. Egypt, leaving Egypt was not the end all. Leaving Egypt was a step to what I wanted you to be, where I wanted you to go. He was preparing them for that. He mentioned several things about them leaving. He told them, make sure you remember what happened. We read it in verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt. By the way, if you're a Christian, you're saved, that day ought to be a fond memory in your soul. I remember that day. The older I get, the less I want to mention it. But I'm not old, Brother Pichardo. Brother Pichardo's getting old. I'm mature. But it was Easter Sunday, a really long time ago, 1978, 10th grader in high school. What do you mean, wow? Brother Pineda wants a salary decrease. I walked into church, an unsaved teenager. God had been dealing with me about salvation. It wasn't just that I showed up to church on that Sunday, but I walked there, and it was an Easter Sunday, you call it Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and I walked, and they talked about salvation. They said, if you need to trust Christ, why don't you come down here? And I knew I needed to trust Christ, and I was sitting right there next to Pastor Esposito. He wasn't Pastor Esposito then. He was Joe. And I'm sitting there next to him, and he had brought me to church. He was concerned about my soul, and I said, hey, I should go down there. He goes, yeah, you should. Now, that would have been a really good time to say, I'll walk you down there so you can talk to somebody. But he said, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, go ahead? I don't know anybody. Church was packed out, you know, Easter Sunday, and I was sitting on the aisle about right where you are, Michael, and I'm like, I'll go by myself. And I stepped out, and I walked down to the front. They had an experienced gentleman. I don't know who his name. I wish I could remember his name. But he took me outside. There was quite a few people, and he sat down. He started witnessing to me. But you know what? I already knew what I needed to do, and I listened to him, and I trust Christ on that day. That's a wonderful day. I don't ever want to forget that. And Moses is saying, "Listen, this is a big deal. You're out of Egypt, and I want you to remember this day. Remember what happened. Don't ever get over your salvation." We talked a couple weeks ago when we were talking about growth, how that one of the things of growth, if we don't grow in our faith, it's almost like we forget that day. It's almost like we forget that we were washed from our sins. I think Peter mentions it that way. Don't ever forget that day. He also told them, rehearse what happened. In verse 8, he goes, and thou shalt show thy son in this day. One of the reasons they celebrated the Passover is so years down the road, when their children had children, by the way, another grandchild coming our way Wednesday. It's going to be exciting, unless Lauren has the baby early, but it's going to be great. But so, you know, since your children are going to have children, they didn't come out of Egypt. They don't remember it. And so when you have the Passover, they're like, Dad, what is this all about? And you say, there was a day when we were all slaves in Egypt, and God worked a miracle and brought us out. By the way, do you realize as they went farther and farther down the line, that the people that are telling the story to their children weren't there when it happened? But it had to be passed on, didn't it? And what God did was passed on. And he said, make sure your children know it. Rehearse what happened. By the way, that's one reason we ought to try to live with God. You know why? We ought to live for God. So our children realize that it is reality. It is true that salvation did make a... Look, I did not grow up in a Christian family. In fact, I grew up complete opposite. And I didn't have a dad in the home, and I basically did what I wanted. And I got involved in some things I didn't want to get involved with. I'm glad my children didn't have to do that. But it'd be easier for them to take God for granted because they've never had to go through any of that. You don't have to live in sin to be thankful that God saved us from sin. In fact, the best thing is don't do that, but rehearse it. And then he says, rejoice in what happened. He also mentions in those verses the Feast of Unleavened Bread. By the way, there were many feasts that God had and many celebrations. Why? Because the Christian life is a joyful thing. Being saved is joyful on Sunday nights. I don't want to keep pumping it, but it's good. We're talking through the book of Philippians, and the whole book of Philippians is about joy. You know where joy comes from? Living for God. See, what we think is, man, you know, before I was saved, I was in the world, and I did all these crazy things, and that was exciting and fun, but then I got saved and gave that up for God. You know what? I gave up nothing. Okay, I gained everything. What I gave up was garbage and misery. Joy comes from Jesus Christ. There's no, I have to either choose to be joyful and happy, or I have to choose to serve Jesus Christ. But whoa. If you choose Jesus Christ, you have chosen to be joyful and happy. But that's a message for another night, so see you tonight. But rejoice in what happened. Christianity is exciting. It's something great. So he said leaving Egypt was the beginning. He said avoiding the enemy, number two, was necessary. I like this. God understood where they were at. We read verse 17. It said, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest preadventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That's very interesting to me. When God brought them out of Egypt, after all the stuff he did to Egypt, these people were like, wow, look at the power of God. God didn't take them the fastest way to where he wanted to get them because the Philistines were there. And he didn't want the people to say, whoa, 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 we're going to have a war here? We're not. Listen, you have to understand, these people were slaves. They were not part of a nation. They were kind of just all scattered. They didn't have any organized system of fighting. And so God's like, listen, I don't want them to go that way because they're going to be fearful because they're not ready for it right now. God didn't say, man up. Let's do it. He said, they're not ready for that right now. So I'm going to take them another way. Now, by the way, when they get into Canaan land, they're going to be fighting. And they'll be ready. But God said, not now. God understood their weakness, and God says, we're going to get them to where they need to be, but they're not ready for that right now. God understood that. They weren't ready. They needed growth. By the way, when you're a Christian, sometimes, you know, people as Christians, man, I'm struggling with this sin, and it is such a fight. I don't know if I can make it. And God's tempting me, and it's just a little too much. Do you understand? God doesn't do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Huh. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that what he just did to the children of Israel? He said, they're not ready for this temptation, so I'm not going to give it to them yet. Now, there's going to come a time that people are going to step up and want to fight them, and when it's ready, it's like, it's on, and they're going to be victorious. He goes, not now. So God understands that we're not where we should be, but he wants us to get to where we should be. Because we do need to be able to fight. But in this instance, they weren't ready. God wanted them to grow. And then number three, and I like this, not that I didn't like the other two. Number three, guidance for their entrance was available. They weren't on their own. Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Isn't that interesting? God, once they left Egypt until they got to the promised land. Now, I understand there's a 40-year window there when they messed up. And if you kind of map it out how they walked through the wilderness, it wasn't good. Should have took what, 11 days to get there? It took 40 years. They were being punished. But God was leading them. They should have been able to follow because God said, listen, you don't even have to, wouldn't that not, you just wake up in the morning and say, I'll tell you exactly where you need to go. GPS. God's positioning system. Okay? At night, there's a cloud of fire, pillar of fire there. During the day, there's a cloud. And whenever the cloud or the fire moved, they followed it. Whenever it stopped, they camped. Isn't that nice? God said, listen, I'll take you exactly where you need to go. You don't have to worry about it. I will lead you along the path. I like the path because it shows several things. First, there was protection there. You know, the fire gave them light at night. And when we think of the wilderness, you know what I think of when you hear the word wilderness? I think of, we go to Washington every year. Washington's a very beautiful place, the Pacific Northwest. It's very green, nice wilderness. That's not the wilderness here. The wilderness that they're talking about is the desert. Bertha, where you live. The desert, where you folks live, right? It's hot. It's not good. It's hot. You know that cloud gave some protection from that sun. See, God was protecting them in his leading them. You say, well, you know, sometimes, especially you young folks, you know, I want to follow God in my life, but I'm just kind of afraid. I think he's going to take me somewhere I don't want to go. You know, God will always take you where he wants you. He protects you. God's will, as Brother West talked in my class, or God's will or what God wants for you is always the best place. Okay, the dangerous thing is when we're out of God's will. I heard a story. There was a guy, and he believed in the sovereignty of God, which I do. And he told a pastor, he said, I'm not going to die until God's day for me to die. He goes, I'm so convinced of that, I could run across the freeway and rush hour traffic, and if it's not my time to die, I'm not going to die. The preacher looked at him and said, son, if you run across the freeway in traffic, it is your time to die. Okay, so we can push that up sometimes, right? But listen, if we're in God's, we're protected. God, we're right where God wants us. to be. And there's a pathway, a specific place to follow. They got up, and it's like, are we moving today? Nope, it's not moving. We're sitting still. And if you read through the books as we've been reading through in our Bible reading, you see that sometimes they were there for a day. Sometimes they were in the same place for a week. Sometimes they were there for a month or months. Sometimes they were there for a year. It didn't matter. When it moved, they moved. When it didn't move, they stayed. God was showing them the path. By the way, we have a wonderful guide, the Word of God. The Word of God. And then we see there's peace. I like this. He took not away the pillar of cloud, either by night or day. It was always there. Isn't that neat to wake up every night, no matter what time they'd wake up and they could look out of their tent and there was a pillar of fire representing that God's right here. He's still with you. What did Jesus say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's the point? I have no idea. Yes, I do. That God has somewhere for us to go and God will lead us that way. The point is, we ought to always be going forward so we're constantly getting to where God wants us to go. That's what God wants. Now, what we have done, and I'm moving on now, and we're going to talk about the next steps for just a couple minutes, and then we'll be done. For our purposes in our church, we've identified some very practical steps that can help people to grow on this path. Now, they're not, you say, well, where's the list in the Bible? The things are in the Bible, but we've just kind of laid them out, some things that'll kind of help us as we go forward. We wanted it to be understandable. We wanted it to be practical. We wanted it to be simplified. Okay? We passed out our next steps. You say, what are those steps all about? Those steps come from two verses. Flip over to Mark chapter 12. We'll read these verses. I'm going to go through these briefly. And what I want you to think about as we finish up this morning, and again, it's a little unusual. This is not typically what we do. If you're a visitor and you say, what's this all about? I hope you had a great time and come back next week. But this will help us. I want you to get, look, it doesn't do any good for us just to say, hey, let's just all meet together on Sunday. We'll have a great time and everybody go on your way. Listen, that's not what God wants. God wants us to be going somewhere. God wants our life to be growing. God wants us to get somewhere where he wants us to be. He brought us out of that old life once when we were unsaved because he has a new life. He has the promised land for us. Now, it's not Canaan. It's living our life based on God's word or the promises of God. And it's a wonderful way to live, by the way. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. It says, thou shalt, this is the greatest command in the Bible, is it not? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thank you for that one answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of Scripture? He gave it. There it is. But he felt compelled. Now, he asked for one, but I guess maybe he'd been watching Jeopardy or something. I don't know. It was Daily Double Day. Okay? He said, I'm going to give you two. So you asked for one, but you're going to get two. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They say, wait a minute, he asked for one, why did he get two? Well, he says right here, there is no other commandment greater than these. And then somewhere else he said that on these two laws, on these two commandments, hang all the law and prophets. Bottom line, you can almost divide up everything the Bible tells us to do in two categories. They either do with loving God or they have to do with loving others. So if these are the two greatest commandments, then these ought to be the motivations for our life, our Christian life. Now, ours, we've tried to simplify it. If you look at your thing up there, I have one, don't I? Yep, look at that. Next step Sunday. Here we go. What are our steps? We've just kind of laid them out. You know what the first step we want? We have an agenda here. You ever hear people, you have an agenda. Yeah, we do have an agenda. It's not secret, though, okay? We're not trying to, we're not going to stick you on a UFO and send you to another planet. Although there are some people that I would like to do that to, mostly in-laws. But, so here's we have an agenda. Our agenda is to help you to grow, help you to get to what God has you. Why? Because I've tried to do that in my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do that in my life. And you know what? It's great. And we want that for you, too. What's the first one? The first step is two. It's salvation and baptism. Now, let me just say this, and I don't mind being point blank because it's, you know, the Bible's kind of point blank, right? If you're here this morning and you come to our church any amount of time, here's the first and only thing I want for you right now. I want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, do you want us to tithe? Well, you can give. That's fine. But I want you to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You could come to church every day. You could win it. You could win an award. We don't give awards away, but we could give you a faithfulness button. And by the way, I'm for faithfulness to church. Isn't that one of our commitments? Let's try to be to church every church service this year. But I could give you an award by being faithful to church 10 years in a row. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you wasted your time. You wasted it. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than me standing in my garage makes me a car. I could make car sounds. Now, I do that with my grandkids. I put them on there, and I help them drive, and they sit on my knee, and I crash them and all that. That's fine. Doesn't make me a car. Okay? It's not. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Trusting Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. So I'm not hiding it this morning, and I'm never going to hide it. If you're here this morning, you know what we want? We want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm glad I went to a church on Easter Sunday many years ago, and they weren't afraid to tell me that I needed Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. And guess what? I trusted him because of it. Have you been saved? You say, well, you know, I grew up in a church, another church. Doesn't make you a Christian. Can you tell me a day that you realized that you were a sinner on your way to hell and you made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Lord, I am trusting you only, not you and somebody else, not you and my good works, not you and anything. I'm trusting you to the exclusion of everything else as my only way to heaven, based on the fact that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Have you ever done that? Say, well, you know, I've always done that. The Bible calls it born again. Say, when were you born? I was born at Pacific Hospital right down the street here on a very specific day. You might want to mark this down if you want to get me a gift, September 28th. Okay, write that down. We'll take time. Okay. But how long have you been alive? You know, I've always been. I've not always been. Now, Brother Montgomery, he looks like he's always been. Okay, no, I've not always been. There was a very specific day that I came into this world. You say, how was that day? I have no idea. I can't even remember it. But there was a very specific day I was born again also. Okay, that's the day I trusted Jesus Christ. Now, you may not remember that. You may remember that time without remembering the day. Remember when we started the church? I visited a Cambodian guy. He had moved here from Cambodia, from the jungles. And we're like, when were you born? And he said, Wednesday. Well, what year? He goes, I don't remember. He goes, my parents have no idea. They just remember it was a Wednesday. Okay? Now, they don't remember that, but they remember that it was on a Wednesday many years ago. Okay? So you need, and then after we get saved, you know what that next step is that's involved with it? Baptism. That's a first step of obedience. The Bible tells us we are to be baptized afterwards. What is that? Is that part of being saved? No. It's just letting the world know that you've trusted Christ. And I'm willing to follow the Lord and believers' baptism and let everybody know, hey, I've trusted Jesus. If you're here this morning, I'm going to talk about the other seven steps real quick. But you know what? You tune those out because this is the first step you need to take. You can't take the other steps. Now, you can kind of fake them and go through them, but you're not really growing until you take that first step of being born again. We'll help you with that at the end if you'd like. What is the second step? We call that devotion. Devotion. What is that? Well, we've been talking about that when we talked about our Bible series. That's just, now I'm going to start growing in my faith. Now I'm going to start going forward. I'm going to spend time reading my Bible and prayer and coming to church and coming to the services because I want God to speak to me. Devotion. You say, well, I've been saved, Brother Myers. That first part's not for me. Let me ask you something. Do you spend time with the God who saved you? How's your Bible reading time? Do you ever pray to him? Do you spend time with him? Listen, I didn't get married on June 1st, not last year, many years ago. I didn't get married on June 1st and said, hey, your lucky day, Alma. By the way, it was. It's a luckier day for me. I would say, we're married now. See you later. We're done with it. Amen? I'm out of Egypt. Well, I didn't realize when I got married, I was actually going back into Egypt. But just kidding, okay? I was when I got married, I was entering into the promised land. And there shall I ever be with the Lord. But I didn't say, listen, we got married, now we're done. I mean, the whole process from the time we met each other until we got married was about 20 months or so. We got married, said, yes, this process went great, we're done. That's just the beginning. Now, we develop a relationship together. That's the good part. The marriage wasn't the best part. The best part is after marriage for these last 30 years. Getting to know each other, having a relationship with somebody that's wonderful. And I have a relationship with her too. I'm just seeing if you're with me this morning, okay? But you know, that's what most Christians do, right? Man, I got saved. See you when I get to heaven, Jesus. The best part's just begun. The part of developing that wonderful relationship like a husband and wife can have. You ought to enjoy being with the Lord, right? I try to find reasons to be with my wife. We went to the boys' basketball game. It's kind of nice now. Jack helps coach. So after the basketball game, I used to have to wait around. And whoever the coach was, Brother Chim or Brother Tim, would take him in the room and chew him out. And I'm like, I'm sitting there waiting for 15 minutes. And I know what he's doing. But I'm like, Jack's there now. He's got a car. I can leave. So my wife came to the game. The girl stayed home. Like, we're going to go to the game. Jack's bringing him home. Then we're going to go get something to eat together. We're going to spend some time together. And I enjoy that. By the way, you ought to enjoy spending time with God. Devotion. Maybe you haven't nailed that down. Church attendance. Why? Because we're spending time with God together around his word and around singing and all that. So devotion, maybe that's a step you need to start working on. Then that's level one. That's loving God. That's the first and great commandment. Level two has to do with loving others. And again, these aren't thing. For loving others, here's what we put down. We put down adult Bible classes. That, you know, if you've come here at all, you've either attended one of our classes before the service or you've been invited to one. You say, what's that all about? You know, as Christians, we don't just get saved and like, that's just me and Jesus. You know, we need each other. Okay? There's a verse in Acts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And as I say, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Okay, he wasn't even alone. There is no such thing. By the way, you say, if you've been visiting our church, you're kind of checking us out, I encourage you. You cannot tell a lot about our church based on one Sunday. If you're visiting us and maybe you're like, you know, this is a church I'm looking for and we're looking for a church, you need to come more than once and you also need to go to the Bible class, get to know some people. Get to know what our church is really all about and the Bible classes. That's kind of a smaller groups within the bigger groups that help us to get to know each other. And then the next step underneath level two, which would be step four, is membership. Membership. Every Christian needs to be a part of a church. You need to be. Okay? We don't need to just be floating around. And I say this very sincerely. Now, I love our church. I think our church is the best thing since peanut butter and jelly. I get it. But if you come here and you literally say, I just don't like this church, this is not for me, I would encourage you, find a good church where it can. You can. You need church that bad. Okay? Now, you're here, so I'm thinking you don't hate us, all right? And we don't hate you. Well, Ryan, maybe. But you need a church. And so if you're coming to a church, we need to make a commitment and say, you know what? This is my church. This is the church I want to be in. By the way, you say, do you have qualifications for being in the church? Let's go back to step one. You have to be saved and baptized. You say, well, I'm not saved or baptized, so I want to be a member. We can take care of that. We can help you with that. But everybody needs a good church to be a part of, okay? And then level three is, now we go back. So we love God. We love others. Now we're going to serve God. We're going to be active in what we're doing. What is that all about? We've identified it in two steps, discipleship. What is discipleship? Of course, it's becoming a disciple of Christ. It's growing in our faith to a deeper degree. See, because we cannot effectively help others if God is not doing something in our life. Now, we have what we call a discipleship class here. That's not an end-all. Discipleship's a lifestyle thing. But we use the discipleship class to kind of help you to get to know what our church is about, what we believe, and how we kind of flesh that out in our church. We do that on Thursday nights. If you're interested in that, you've become a member or interested in becoming a member, someone from your class, we have a booklet. You come into the service on Thursday. You go out during the teaching time, and they go over these things with you and teach you a little about our church. If you have questions and so forth, more than glad to help you that. But we want you to understand our church, and we want you to understand and grow deeper in your faith with the Lord so you can help others. So serving God. We serve God by discipleship, learning to serve him. And then, I'm not going to hide this one, giving. We used to call it stewardship, but you know what? It's not stewardship. It's giving. What is giving? God asked us to give. Now look, you say, I knew you were after our money. I'm not after your money. God commands us to give. That's why you need a church that you're a member of. How does a church needs get taken care of? It's through the giving of its members. That's just common sense. By the way, you go to any other organization, that's how they work. They want members. We used to, our boys back in the day when our church was on that little building on Anaheim, we used to go, our parking lot was even hard to have PE on. So the boys club used to let us go. But we all had to be members of the boys club. And you know what they wanted us to do to be members of the boys club? We had to give to be a member. Now, you don't have to give to be a member, okay? We don't have a set, nothing like that. But God asked us to give. Why? How's the church going to go out and accomplish everything it needs to do? It's through the giving of its members. Everybody doing their job, and then we're effective, and we can do what we need to do. Giving, that's a step. Now, the last step is this, and then we'll be done. Level number 4, now that we're serving God, giving allows us to do that, by the way. Now we're going to serve others. The key way we serve God, you know how we serve God? We serve other people. You say, man, I want to do something for Jesus. You know how you do something for Jesus? You do something for somebody else. Bible tells us, he told us in Matthew 25, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Whenever we do something for someone in the name of the Lord, Jesus said, that's just like you did it for me. By the way, you know, I've bought Jesus meals before. I've never bought a McDonald's because I don't want him to get sick, okay? But I've bought Jesus meals before. Why? I bought meals for people. I've bought groceries for Jesus before. There have been people that have been struggling, and hey, we need some groceries, and it's legitimate. We bought them groceries. I've bought gas for people before, okay? I've helped people. I've bought gas for Jesus. Say, what kind of car does he drive? It's not a Ford. It is not a Ford, okay? I've helped Jesus move. And these are all things I've done for people that I've known, people in our church that ask for help with these things. And when I'm doing it for them because I'm a Christian and my Christian brother, in essence, I get to serve Jesus by serving them. And that's a blessing. We have ministries in our church. What is that? That's using the talents and the gifts God has given us to do things to help others through the church. By the way, if you listen, there are no children crying in here this morning. Amen. I love children. Okay? I love them. But I also love when they're not in the service, amen, because they're loud, okay? I love my grandchildren. They're there, you know, and sometimes they're there for a day or two, and it's like, hey, I love you. It's time for you to go home, okay? You've been here for 2 days. I love them. Listen, I love them. I just don't think the children are going to be comfortable in this service right here, right? Do you know there's a bunch of ladies right now in the nursery taking care of those little sweet demons, all right? Just taking care of them. We have Sunday school classes all over this place from the nursery ends at what, 4? From 4 years and above, we have classes. Do you know there's people that teach those children? Okay? People that help around here, that do all kinds of things. That's ministry. And then the last thing is this. We call it soul winning. You say, what is that? That's when we help others by helping them to understand what happened to us. What happened to me on that Easter Sunday, I trusted Christ. God wants me to share that with other people. And as we grow on our faith, we'll get to the point where it's like, you know what? I can tell other people about what God did for me. Some people call it testimony or testifying. You know what testifying is? Telling of something we've known and we have seen, and it's happened to us. So it's very easy. We got to let other people know about the Lord.